go ahead and call to order the Treasury Oversight Committee meeting for Thursday, August 18th. So first item on the agenda is public comments, but I don't see any public members, so we'll move right on. Next is the resolution authorizing virtual meetings under AB 361. I do want to say that I misread the resolution when I was looking at it this morning. Section 4 says meetings of the legislative body may be held virtually in accordance with the provisions of AB 361 through September 17th. And I like leap to this interpretation that AB 361 expires September, but it's just the 30 days for us. And what this resolution does it allows Jennifer and Rob to be remote from their workplaces or their home via Zoom without having to post notice and make, for instance, their home a public meeting place. With that said, before we can continue on with business in this hybrid format that we have, we need to adopt this resolution.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution.
So we have a motion from Rob Patterson. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second from George. I'm going to do roll call.
Mm-hmm. Janet Dutcher, how do you vote?
Yes.
Gerald Frank, how do you vote?
Yes.
Jennifer Kreitz, how do you vote?
Yes.
Jennifer Weston, how do you vote?
Yes.
George Savage, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Rob Patterson, how do you vote?
Yes.
The motion
passes. Thank you. We can continue on with our meeting. And before we get into the rest of the business, I do have one announcement that I want to make. I probably should have done this at the first part of the meeting. But Brooke is no longer going to be a member of our committee. We expect somebody else from Mammoth Unified will be appointed to this committee. Brooke, I understand, has accepted a position in your office, Jennifer. And so I just, I know she's not here, but would you convey my appreciation for her being on this committee for the number of years that she has been here and engaging with us at our quarterly meetings?
Absolutely, I can definitely share that, Janet. And I know that the district has an interim CBO right now, and I think they're gonna be going out to search for the position. So we have a little bit of an interim situation. I'm not sure if they'll wanna appoint her to the committee or wait until someone permanent is in place. But I don't know if you guys have a recommendation for that either.
Well, right now the appointments are by the name of the person. Gerald and I have talked that appointments would be better if they were by position. That way when the names and faces change, we don't have to go back to the board and ask for a new appointment. So give us some time to sort that out. In the meantime, you know, you'll do your recruitment and we've got 3 months before our next meeting.
Okay, sounds good, thank you.
Okay. Continuing on with business, we have the minutes from our May 19th committee meeting. And does anybody have any changes or corrections to those minutes? Otherwise, I'll look for a motion in a second to approve.
If there are no recommended changes, I'd move to approve.
I can second that.
So we have a first from Jennifer Kreitz, from Supervisor Kreitz, and a second from Rob Patterson. I guess roll call.
Okay. Janet Dutcher, how do you vote?
Yes.
Gerald Frank, how do you vote?
Yes.
Jennifer Kreitz, how do you vote?
Yes.
Jennifer Weston, how do you vote?
Yes.
George Savage, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Rob Patterson, how do you vote?
Yes.
All right, the minutes are approved. And then we'll move on to the quarterly investment reports. This is our fourth quarter report for the quarter ending June 30th, 2022. It has been presented to our board. We try to present them within about 6 weeks after the end of the year. And so, Gerald, you want to walk us through this as we usually do?
Sure. We'll start on the second page. Mm-hmm. Treasury was in compliance with Monroe County's investment policy as of June 30th, 2022. As of that date, it had a weighted average maturity of 543 days. It is anticipated that the county treasury will be able to meet its liquidity requirements of its pool participants for the next 6 months. Let's see here, on the last day of the quarter, on a book basis, the portfolio totaled $187,615,373, and the market value was $183,375,102.
And I just want to say that that gap's not a concern, at least to me. We're in a declining interest market, and we hold the maturity.
Yes, so it's 97.73% of book value. And we, personally, I like to see this type of book to market value because that means we're getting higher interest rate. Mm-hmm. We're actually starting to be able to have opportunities to buy out of the 5-year. We're buying stuff that's mid 3% now. Mm-hmm. So we start increasing. If we had a policy to buy and sell, our investments and not hold them to maturity, that would be a problem. But we don't. We hold all of our maturities to, or hold all our investments to maturity unless something else triggers a sell event. So, average interest rate for the for June 30th, 2022 was 1.4017%. We're starting to move up fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. Last month we were at we hit 174. And then this month looks like we're going to end up around a 194. Mm-hmm. So we are starting to the yield is starting to come up.
And that's because the treasuries are increasing?
Yeah, the FOMC has, the overnight rate is going up considerably fast. Mm-hmm. In fact, I can pick up a 1 to 2 year investment at a much higher interest rate than I can at 5 year. But we never want to not fill our 5 years because we hold that interest rate for 5 years and we ride out downturns. So yep. We always want to keep invested throughout the ladder. So the next few pages are our investments. Does anybody have any questions on our investments?
I don't have any questions on the investments, but I know it's probably on the next page, you'll see that the investment pool balance is at a really high level, $170 million. I don't know if that's the highest it's ever been. Might not be, but we have two sets of bond proceeds that are in the pool. One is the JL financing, which was $6.7 million, $6.5 million.
Yeah.
And then we also have the general obligation bonds for the schools.
Yeah, which is about $38 million left, right on there.
Yeah. So that money's sitting in the treasury because
yes.
We don't hold it outside. We don't hold it outside with investment bankers. So.
So the next page is the distribution by asset category. You can see we have a lot of money in, at the end of June, we have had a lot of money in local government investment pool. Multiple reasons why it's gone so high. One, two of the reasons are both the bonds that came through. The other reason is July is a big outgoing month for us. We send out about $16 million in bond payments and other things, PERS, that type of stuff. So July, we always have to have a little extra money in July to make sure we're liquid enough to make those payments. One thing we are doing right now is, as of today, our LAIF is at, we have the lowest balance we've ever had in LEAF, and we're at $1.6 million. The reason being is CAMP is paying us a lot more. LEAF is at about 130 right now, and CAMP just hit 230 for liquid assets. So we've moved everything. We've basically maxed out our CAMP account, what we're actually allowed to put in there.
And LEAF's so much... I can't remember what we spoke about the other day, whether CAMP and LAIF have the same investment horizon or if LAIF is much shorter, right?
Yeah, so LAIF used to be about 180 days on average. After COVID, they decided they were earning so little, they decided to extend that out, and they went all the way up to 300 days. Well, they almost, that's almost doubling their duration. And it didn't, in my opinion, it wasn't a smart move. They, you know, because interest rates were so low, they were only bumping interest rates a couple basis points. For that much duration, So it's taking them a lot longer to come back. Whereas CAMP, they went the other way. They decided to go the lowest duration they've ever had. And they went down to, I think, at one time, 23 days on their duration.
It's like a money market.
So, yeah, so now they're bringing it back slowly as the market comes back, and they're able to reinvest quicker and get into the higher interest rates.
So they're turning over the low interest rate into the higher interest rates that's on the market.
And what is a CAMP an acronym for?
California Asset
Management Program.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
It's like a mutual fund for government agencies. That's kind of how I see it. It's not a money market. It's more than a mutual fund.
It's done through JPA.
Yeah. It says dollar for dollar is the value. It is what you draw out of, and then you earn, you know, a return on your money.
Yeah, the NAV is at one.
Yeah.
CalTrust, they have a floating NAV, which for the little bit of extra yield you get from that, it's a lot of more accounting work.
To track the mark to market.
All right, so the next page is the maturity distribution as of 6/30. You can see that on our short end, we've really increased, and that's multiple reasons. The school bonds and the being able to put some of our liquidity into shorter term investments at a higher interest rate. Mm-hmm. So we've actually gone into commercial paper and agency discount notes, which on the short end is giving us at least 1% bump on our yields for that time frame. So.
And then when it matures, we expect the interest rates to still be climbing.
Oh yes, yeah. These
are
all
in the short term.
In the short term, yeah.
So
in the next year and a half,
you're not risking a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I'm setting it up so that we have the money maturing when the school bonds need to pay their bills.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you coordinate usually with Brooke on that?
Yeah. What we've done is we've they actually cut a check. We take the check, and they send us out a ACH request. So we take that check and then void the check and then send it out as ACH, so that we have control of the money. We had an issue when they first started doing the construction, where there was a $2.5 million check sitting out there for over 3 weeks, we're limited on what we're allowed to keep in our banks. So that's kind of,
you know, stale data.
No, that's kind of tight. So
yeah.
So we decided, they keep the communication, wire. And then we send it out electronically instead. That way we're not sitting on that kind of cash. Well, a lot of times we can't have that kind of cash in there on top of other obligations.
So. Yeah. Well, and the other thing is that we don't. It's difficult to get any certainty on the future disbursement requirements on these large capital projects, and on the jail, we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. So that means that in order to have the liquidity available to pay large bills, if they should come in, you put them, we can't leave it in our checking account because we have a cap on how much money, and so then you park it and delay for CAMP, which is much more liquid than, say, invest in commercial paper.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next page is the Treasury cash balance as of the last day of the most recent 14 months.
Yeah, I would say it's the highest it's been in 2 years.
Yes, it's the highest we've ever had it. I remember back when I took this position, we had $56 million in the pool. we actually broke $190 million for about a week. any question? And then down below you can see that these are all of our maturities. And you'll see that you'll see an increase on the next quarter you'll see an increase on the shorter end.
Yeah.
We'll have a lot more money in on the short end. All right, next page is the quarter yield comparison. You can see where the green bar is, the green line is the 2-year treasury. That's from the FOMC raising rates so quickly.
Sure is.
But you can see where we're at compared to CAMP. CAMP at the end, for the last quarter was at about 75 basis points, and we're at 140.
I was going to say.
So, yeah, we should be above 2% if everything goes the way, mm-hmm. you know, the FOMC wants to do it. Sometime in October or November.
Yeah, I think they're going to raise again, but hopefully not quite as steep.
Yes, yeah, we'll see. It just depends, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So, but we're still investing in much higher interest rates as we go through.
Where's the 5-year at?
5-year, it was at 3, last I looked about 15, 20 minutes ago, was at 303.
Well, at least it's above the
but it
2-year.
You know, 2 weeks ago it was down to 270 something. I mean, it's just all over the place. So, but we are still definitely outperforming the camp considerably.
That's not hard to do.
No, not right now. And then the last page is the investment pool participants. Nothing has changed. No one has entered. No one has pulled out. So, any questions? Okay. Just comment. The other thing. So for the third quarter annually.
And March 31st.
Not fiscal year.
Oh, okay. September.
Yeah. So July through September, that's our time that we can put a lot of muni bonds in, which we get a considerable bump on the yields. And most of the ones I've put in lately are GOs, so they're back to 100% by the auditor charging. It's voted in, and the auditor is required to collect. So.
It's just a matter of collection rights.
Yeah.
Which have been really high for us, so you're guaranteed to get those proceeds.
Yes. And if not, the auditor should be adjusting those rates.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we do. I was looking at it the other day on one of the issues that we have. The hospital has capital appreciation bonds, significant, that are going to be start coming due here in 2025, and so we've got a sinking fund that's built up. But when we calculate the tax rates, there's a delinquency factor that's built in to make sure we collect enough cash for the year to be able to make principal and interest payments to go out the door. So we're working on those right now.
We do buy revenue bonds when they are available. We try to stay at about a AA municipality. If it's low AA or if it's single A plus, we always look for it to be insured. So so we get extra protection for that. And most anything that's under AA, if it's single A, I don't think I've ever seen one that's not insured. Yeah. So.
Then along the lines of debt, I got this relates to the county, not necessarily the Treasury Oversight Committee, but I got an email from Moody's that they are rating all of their agencies under this ESG platform, environment, social, governance, and it's rated from a 1 to a 5, with 1 being the best and 5 being the worst, and so we got a 2. I think we're kind of middle of the road on environment, and that's understandable. We live in an area that's subject to fire and snow, and when the snow melts, it floods. And then on social, we're kind of in the middle or a little bit higher. And I don't remember what the characteristics were. There were no flags, but I think maybe if they had looked at affordable housing, we might not have been rated as high. And then we were rated with a 1 on governance because of our, reducing deficits and our reserves primarily. So I don't know how it's going to play out in terms of, how it affects the pricing of bonds. For instance, I bring this up because I think pretty soon we're going to see the bonds that we're buying to invest in, we're going to see some ratings from the rating agencies on ESG because they're starting to develop a platform for that. It's a way to evaluate risk.
Separate from the AAA, et cetera.
Right, exactly. And I don't know how to like merge it together with the AAA versus, you know, a one.
And it's different than an ESG rating on a bond itself.
Right.
The ESG rating for the county is different than the ESG rating for the bond.
Right. You can do a bond that's specifically directed at those aspects, I guess.
Yeah. They're very hard to come by. Yeah. I think we have two in our portfolio that qualify. Yeah. But there's a lot of, you know, they get just grabbed up really quickly because there's not a lot out there. Yeah. So when we see them, if they're...
Yeah, we're getting, I'm getting inundated with topics at conferences and webinars on this platform.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's counties like... or cities like Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Oakland is very ESG conscious, and they won't even allow their treasurer to buy U.S. treasuries because they're in the business of war. The government.
Wow, that's a stretch.
Yeah, I know it seems like a stretch to me, but that's how strict they are. I mean, so they don't have a lot of room to buy investments. I mean, that's huge.
That's why they're getting gobbled up.
Yeah. CalPERS is starting to talk about it, but I was thankful to see that the legislature wasn't going to make them divest their Russian assets that they have right now, which would cause a huge loss over and above the 6.1% loss for 2022. So. Any other questions or recommendations for this item on our agenda? We always leave it so we can have dialogue. No? Okay. Jenna, when's our next meeting? It's November, right?
November 9th. It's a Wednesday.
All right. I remember we talked about this. And this meeting, we'll be looking at the investment policy. Is that right?
Yes, November. So November is very important. We need to make sure we can have a quorum so we can... We're not planning on any changes on the investment policy, but it's always nice to have the TOC approve it before we take it to the board in January.
We take it to the board in January. Yeah. It's required by law.
I can definitely be there. I usually have a conflict on Thursday. It seems like almost every time it's scheduled on our county office board meeting. So that's why I have to miss sometimes. But that one is free there, so I can definitely be at that November meeting.
Good.
As well. It's on my calendar, so thank you for that invite.
Okay.
Super helpful.
And thank you, Janelle, for scheduling the meetings and
absolutely
and getting a Zoom link and
with
taking
all my
minutes.
Emails and
this committee cannot function without you.
For sure.
You're welcome.
All right. If that is all, then we will adjourn to our next meeting, which is November 9th.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.